Good morning. Good morning, Unity. Good morning to you who are here with us in person and to you who are with us virtually around the country and now in New Zealand. God is good. Church is about beyond these walls. So with that, let us get ready to receive a word, some fellowship, communion, some peace, some joy, some excitement. There's a beautiful day outside, and it's a beautiful day on the inside. So this is your divine appointment. Know that you are in the right place at the right time. Amen? Amen. It always feels good to meditate, to just release, and to just let go. And I'm learning to do that more and more throughout the day. Particularly now that I'm physically going back to work. We'll leave that for another message. So the other night, as I was eating dinner, I found myself caught up in a boatload of thoughts. Mostly about outward concerns in and around my life. It seemed like each thought was a spark of energy commanding my attention. What did not help the situation was having the TV on and my cell phone next to me. Story after story, highlighting the latest move and action or reaction by the current administration, permeated my space around my table and my mind. Text message after text message, strong opinions either way on X, showing the growing animosity, division, and dwindling empathy that is gripping this nation and the world at large. In my own mind, having to grapple with my reaction or action to all of this. What am I going to do? It's only a matter of time before it hits me, before it hits close to home. Well, in a way, it already has. Will I make the right decision? Will I have time to make the right decision? What about all those who have been impacted negatively, those who have lost their jobs, those who were let go, those who were fired on the spot? What about them? What's going to happen next? I felt consumed by the questions, the emotional toll, the not knowing that each of these thoughts were connected to. I felt all over the place. You remember way back in the early 20th century, in the days of the corded telephone, way back, when you placed a call, what happened? It went to a switchboard operator, and they would then connect you with a hard wire to the other party. And if you ever saw such a switchboard, you had wires all over the place. That's the sense I had, sitting at my own dinner table trying to enjoy a dinner that I had prepared. I felt like I was all over the place. And I tell you, it was a good dinner. If I say so myself. I'm not Chef Boyardee, but I can learn a thing or two. And it was something real scrumptious I wanted to try. So it was, I had made chicken and broccoli with a toasted sesame seed oil and fluffy, I mean real fluffy, brown rice. I was proud of myself. Okay? I knew I was going to have a great dinner till all the influence around the table started to impact my meal. It felt as if pieces of my life, my story, was all over the place. And in that moment, I viewed those pieces through my humanity. The limited perspective filled with emotions and worry, hoping that somehow or another I can manipulate these pieces to shape a better outcome. If I do this or if I try that, it'll come together. It'll be all right, right? Everything will be okay because I'm looking at these broken pieces trying to cobble them together. And for the moment, it seemed pretty good. I got this. It's all good. But then you think, well, what if it doesn't work out? It could get worse. Not only did my moment of hope or relief fizzle like a sparkler, but my dinner, that great, wonderful dinner, went dry and cold. So I sat there. I could have turned the TV off. I could have moved the cell phone away. But I was so caught up. So then I happened to just glance around my dining room. And it just so happens I have a tapestry of a Thomas Kincaid piece on the wall. And it depicts the following passage. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24 and 15. But see, I was so focused and wrapped around the axle of the main events flooding my space that I forgot that Jesus is on the main line. So when I repeated that passage from Joshua out loud, it hit me. If I am to live up to that thought, to that notion, to that concept, what do I have to do? I have to acknowledge the presence of the Lord in this place, in my house, at my table. That's the piece of all the pieces of my life that I did not focus on. Mind you, I'm still sitting at my table. But in that aha moment, I was able to exhale deeply. You see, the beauty of this moment is the omnipresence, all present, and omniscient, all knowing of the divine. When I was sinking deeper and deeper into my feelings, my sense of helplessness, God stepped in, first of all, because God is right there. God never left the table. I left the space where God was. And second, because God knows that I know that I know God is right there. God knows I know that. But God also knows in our humanity we might miss that sometimes. So it's almost parenthetical. I had the thought, God saying, let me show you, child, what I can do. And when God called me child, God was trying to get my undivided attention. That tapestry had been on my wall for nearly 13 years. But that night, I felt a shift in the atmosphere, and as if I saw it for the first time, with the acceptance that divine mind was at the table with me. The scattered pieces that sought to drain me of my energy became like vapors in the wind, vanishing. I understood that what I was seeing through my humanity, my human lens, was merely a part and not the sum total of my being. You understand what I'm saying? Just a part, not the sum total thereof. We often see ourselves, our limitations, or what we can or cannot do. We let others define us, speak for us, reduce us, or diminish us. God is saying, no, what others have determined to be your lot, I have increased to be your highest good. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and low in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I realized in the midst of my puzzlement that God was saying, child, stop letting those pieces run your life. Let go. I created you in my image and my likeness. I have plans for you that are bigger and greater than you can ever imagine. Much greater than those insignificant pieces that you're focused on. It's almost like God was saying, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Watch what I can do. The bigger the picture, the bigger picture will be right there in front of you. It will be in full focus. The noise and discord of humanity's blues will be replaced with the divine melody of God's love. As Donny Hathaway sung about in A Song for You, listen to the melody, because my love is in their hiding. All it takes is courage and the willingness to try a little faith. Remember, I'm still at my table. So I thought about it. There's something to having an experience such as this with God while at one's table. I came across various interpretations of the symbolism and figurative applications that a table represents in Hebrew scriptures, also known as Old Testament and the New Testament. One of the most popular texts, Psalms 23 and 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. This implies that the host, in this instance the Lord, would provide a meal as a sign of protection and honor. Sharing a meal was a covenant symbolizing peace and fellowship. Preparing a table in the presence of your enemy suggests divine provision and security, even in the midst of adversity. It highlights God's ability to provide and protect, turning potential threats into opportunities for blessings. Matthew 26 and 20. When it was evening, Jesus sat at the table with the 12. Togetherness, love, and abundance are represented by the table throughout the Bible. Especially during Jesus' lifetime. Every person who sat down with him at table bore the imprint of his presence. All walks of life were drawn closer to him because of the table. Psalm 78 and 19. They spoke against God, saying, can God really prepare a table in the wilderness? This cuts to the heart of how in our humanity, we may stumble, have a momentary lapse, miss the mark, or otherwise just jack the whole thing up. The psalmist was highlighting the Israelites' lack of faith and trust in God's provision and power. They did this frequently throughout their journey in the wilderness. When the going got tough, they complained, found fault in everything around them. Doubted God's ability to care for them. Doubted that God was even with them. Mind you, God had brought them out of bondage, brought them out of Egypt, saved them from Pharaoh's army, provided for their journey with manna from heaven, yet they still doubted and questioned divine authority. It's quiet. How often have we been in the midst of God's blessings? Come on, somebody. How often have we been in the midst of God's blessings? And for me, it was sitting at my table, which is a blessing, in my warm house, which is a blessing, TV and lights on, which is a blessing, eating food from my kitchen, more blessings, that I fixed, truly a blessing, and yet, I was negating God at the same time. By sweating the small stuff. The Israelites took it a step further and decided to test God, asking if God can prepare a table in the wilderness. Just because the Israelites thought it was impossible doesn't mean it's impossible for God. Just as my focusing on the small pieces of my life, trying to imagine a better picture, may have seemed impossible for me, it didn't mean that it was impossible for God to show up with a bigger picture. The table in this instance symbolizes sustenance and abundance in a place or a time where otherwise it may seem impossible, or a space of doubt, a place of scarcity or hardship. In essence, the table in the wilderness was a foreshadowing of Christ's provision for our humanity, as he is the bread of life who provides spiritual nourishment. So my table, your table, our table is where people's lives are brought together, where blessings occur, where life's ups and downs are straightened out. The table is a symbol of unity, connection, and hospitality. It is a place where God dwells with God's people and provides for each of us. Metaphorically speaking, it is the relational presence here in the church. Today, you are now at the table of God here at Unity. The table of Christ is open, receptive, accepting, diverse, equitable to all, and inclusive across the board. No one is excluded from the table of Christ. No one. Hospitality is more than entertaining and hosting. It is a ministry at the table. You have a place of belonging and mutual trust at the table. You are in communion with God at the table. As you partake in the sustenance for your body, God is providing manna from on high to strengthen and enlighten your soul. Where? At the table. Imagine every time you sit at the table to eat, you are in the midst of God. You are in the midst of God. No matter what may manifest itself that is not in alignment with your highest good, don't sweat the small stuff. God's got it. God will show up through the four P's of divine energy. Now, Jonathan of Colonial Penn spoke of three P's. But you know, with God, there's always much more. You know, with God, there is much, much, much more. Giving God all the praise for being in divine presence, for the indwelling spirit and power to manifest your highest good, propelling you to new heights beyond your imagination. It's at the table. Quick anecdotal story. We recently celebrated the life and legacy of a dear friend for over 30 years who made his transition at the end of last month. He was a master chef. Not because of his academic achievements and years of culinary expertise, but because of the experiences he created each time we gathered for a meal. When we gathered at the table, we came from all walks of life, all stations of life, a colorful collective group of souls, varying values, beliefs, and life experiences. Yet, when we came together, the shared experience was not only inspiring and long-lived, but it was also divinely ordered and ordained. We were thoroughly engaged with each other and the presence of spirit at the table. So now when I recline at table for a meal, I ensure that there's space in my heart, in my mind, my consciousness for communion with God's spiritual manner for my soul. There's no room for the small stuff. Actually, I do my best now to not have the TV on, to have the cell phone separate from my space, to engage in conversation with those who are at the table with me face to face. If I'm out with family and friends, I do my best to be engaged, focus on them, to share in their goodness, to share in their enlightenment, to walk the journey with them, to enjoy the meal with them, knowing that divine mind is right there, participating in and through the experience at the table. So I challenge each of you today Are you making sufficient space at the table, as well as the table of your heart, your consciousness, your thoughts, your soul, to receive manna on heaven, spiritual manna from heaven? Can you forgo social media, the TV, your cell phone, and other distractions, so as to have a complete and fulfilling dining experience, both physically and spiritually? Now, I'm not saying go monastery silent here, where you just shut all noise out and just eat in silence. But imagine what's going on while you're sitting at that meal. You are sitting with friends. You're sitting with family. You're sitting with God. You're sitting with the Holy Spirit. You're sitting with your ancestors. You're sitting with all of those who have gone before you, who are marked with faith, who are sitting at the table, sharing in that experience, providing spiritual manna as you and your family and friends gather together for a great meal. And talking to each other. Too many times I've been out and about and I've seen families and folks at the table on their cell phones, and sometimes they're texting each other at the table. At the table. Or they're showing each other the latest TikTok or the latest Instagram, or they're responding to a poll or something that they saw. But yet they're sitting at the table and no one is talking to each other. Imagine what you can glean, the goodness you can get from someone else's walk and talk at the table. Share the meal, but share your life at the table with each other, face to face. It's a scary notion, I know. How often have we been so technically connected that we've lost our social skills? Kids, talk to your parents. Parents, talk to your kids. Get to know what's going on. Connect with each other at the table. So I know some of you are saying, let me see if we can work on that and I'll get back to you. But that's okay. Give it a try. And I guarantee you, God will not fail you. So let me end with this. Whew. Richard Smallwood. Had a wonderful song entitled At the Table. And the lyrics included, it's hard to say it without singing it, but I'm not in full voice because I have not rehearsed with my fellow choir members. So I'm going to recite the verses. Don't do it. You see how they are? See what I got to deal with back here? Amen. It says, come on in where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Joy is here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Love is here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on, somebody. Peace is here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. It's here right now. What you need is waiting at the table. Waiting at the table. So I ask you, my brothers and my sisters, do you want joy today?
Yes.
Karen, do you want joy today? So I ask you again, do you want joy today?
Yes.
Do you want love today?
Yes.
Do you want peace today?
Yes.
Do you want God to provide manna from on high, from heaven?
Yes.
Where can you find it?
Yes.
Where can you find it?
Yes.
Those of you in the chat, type in all capital letters, where can you find it? At the table. To the folks downstairs in hospitality, we're coming downstairs to have a seat at the table to receive your gifts and the gifts that God will provide as well. So I say again, it's waiting at the table. Enjoy it, because God is ever present and his source is endless. God will provide. It's at the table. And so it is. Amen. Yeah.